All right, everyone, I have 6 o'clock and I would like to call to order the September 8th, 2020 planning and zoning meeting. Ms. Ancona, can we please have a roll call?
Chair Gamble?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Hurst?
Here.
Okay, Commissioner Posey? Oh, sorry, Commissioner Hong?
Present.
Commissioner Posey? Here. Okay, and Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, wonderful, thank you. If you guys would all follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. You guys can just listen while I say that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's meeting and thank everybody for joining us remotely. Again, I sure am missing seeing everybody in person. I think we kind of all are. Probably feel that way as the pandemic goes on. But I'm glad we're able to meet with Zoom and still do this important work. So before we start, I just wanted to go over a couple of housekeeping things. The order of this meeting will be the same as all of our other meetings. And for anybody that would like to participate, we would ask that you click on, if you are on anything other than a telephone, if you click on the participants icon at the bottom of the screen, you will see your name come up on a list. And if you click on your name, a little pop-up box will pop up at the bottom of that. That gives you an option to raise your hand. The icon's just a little blue hand. And if you click on that, that will notify us that you would like to speak, and we will call on you at the appropriate time. If you are participating via a telephone, you will need to press *9, and that will indicate that you have raised your hand and would like to make a comment. So we do ask that you wait to the appropriate agenda item to raise your hand, then we will unmute you when asked. All right, at this time, I would like to do the call to the audience. During this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. If you wish to address the commission on a matter not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon on your computer or phone, or by pressing *9 on your phone now. And Ms. Ancona, were you aware of any blue cards?
No, I didn't receive anything.
Okay. All right, it does not look like we have any hands, so I am going to close the call to the audience. And at this time, I'd like to recognize Vice Mayor Barrett. And I would like to turn some time over to her for our council liaison comments. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, hi, thank you. We just had a council session on September 2nd and had a study session on the noise ordinance and continued the proposed EEZ code amendments for our next council meeting. And on the next council meeting, we'll have a public hearing on the noise code ordinance, some consent agenda items and look again at those EEZ code amendments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. We will get started with today's agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out our first item?
Review and approval of the August 11th, 2020 special session meeting minutes.
Could I get a motion from one of the commissioners from that?
Chair Gamble, looks like Member yes. Harrington has his hand raised.
Yes. Vice Chair Harrington.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes with changes.
I second that.
Without changes or with?
With changes.
With changes?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What changes needed to be made?
I would like to point out that this is just a typo for the vice chairman. There's a misspelling on the listing of item ones. It's spelled V-I-E, and then there's another mention of the vice chairman on number two with the voting. It's B-I-E. It's just a typo. That's my changes that I would point out.
Okay. Thank you. I'll correct those.
All right. Vice Chair Harrington, were those your changes as well?
Yes, they are.
All right. Then can I get a second on that motion with those changes included?
I second that.
All right, great. Ms. Ancona, can you please do a roll call vote?
Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right, thank you very much. And Ms. Ancona, can I please get you to read out the second agenda item?
Discussion and possible action on a revised sign criteria for the Mikado at Cañada Hills Shopping Center.
All right, thank you. And I will turn the time over to staff member Mrs. Hayes for that presentation.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. We'll get that presentation pulled up here in just a moment.
All right.
Where are we?
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. I appreciate that. Good evening. My name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the Town of Oro Valley Planning and Zoning and Permitting Divisions. Next slide, please. The purpose for this first case is the review of a revised sign criteria for the Mercado at Cañada Hills Shopping Center. This case is related to signs only. Each one of our commercial properties is required to establish a set of sign standards specific to the development. In this case, there is already a sign criteria established. However, that criteria is outdated, and the property owner wishes to revise the sign standards to bring the development up to current code allowances. The Planning and Zoning Commission is the deciding body for a sign criteria. These cases are not forwarded to town council since everything proposed in a sign criteria meets the zoning code standards. Before we get into the details about this specific case, let's get oriented as to the location of this project. Next slide. Thank you. The subject property, which is outlined in yellow, is located on the east side of La Cañada Drive, north of Lambert Lane, adjacent to the Fry's grocery store. The Mercado at Kenyatta Hills contains an Ace Hardware, Goodwill store, and animal hospital, along with restaurants and personal service businesses. Although the Mercado property is technically a separate development than the Fry's store, all of the businesses on that corner share access, parking, and architectural design, which contributes to an overall cohesiveness for the whole corner. Therefore, cohesiveness among signs is important. Next slide. The proposed revised sign criteria will include changes to the wall sign letter types and illumination, along with monument sign size and color updates. The proposed revised sign criteria will allow this development to feel as if the Mercado and Fry's properties are one cohesive development. Next slide. As I mentioned earlier, the proposed revised sign criteria will change the allowed wall sign types and illumination. Currently, only a reverse pan channel letter with halo illumination is allowed on this site. That would be the type of wall sign that we see in the photo that reads max. The proposed criteria will continue to allow the reverse pan channel sign and also allow pan channel letters with internal illumination that would look like the photo on this slide that reads snap P. Both of these sign types are allowed by the zoning code. Also, the current sign criteria is very limited in color choices, offering only copper patina, black, and the gold color of the building. Mostly black letters were used, such as we see in the photos for Marco's Pizza and Proactive. Only trademarks were allowed to use colors like we see in the photos that read Rubs. The proposed revised sign criteria will allow a broader choice in colors for tenants and provide cohesiveness among the Mercado property and Fry Center. The proposed revisions for letter type, illumination, and color all meet the standards of the zoning code. Next slide. The proposed revised sign criteria will also update the monument sign standards. Although the property owner does not currently have plans to change the monument signs at this time, this is a good opportunity to update the monument sign standards. A change to the sign and future color is proposed in the revised sign criteria. The design of the signs will remain the same. The proposed changes meet the standards of the zoning code. Next slide. As always, we look to the general plans, goals, and policies when reviewing sign standards. The staff finds that the proposed sign criteria meets the general plan standards by emphasizing identification for the center without intrusiveness. Next slide. In summary, the wall and monument sign updates proposed in a sign criteria meet the standards of the zoning code. The sign updates will aid in providing cohesiveness among adjacent developments and bring the Mercado sign standards in line with the town's current zoning code standards. And again, this case is related to signs only. Staff recommends approval of the revised sign standards, and the commission is the deciding board for this type of case. The applicant has joined us online tonight to say a few words and to answer any questions that we might have. We'd like to turn it over to Barry Gatte.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, great. Thank you, Patty. It's been a pleasure working with you to revise our sign criteria. It's been quite a while since we last did that. And I'm glad to see that the town has provided in the new code some additional choices for our tenants to be able to have some colors other than the few that we had before. I was also pleased that the sign criteria that Patty had shown me as samples offered pictures and other things that make it easier for the tenants to see what is available. And I think with Patty's help, we've come up with a much better option than what we had before. So I hope that you approve this revision. It's all part of, it all meets the code, and we look forward to offering this to our tenants when and if somebody wants to have a new sign. So thank you.
All right. So I will now turn the time over to commissioners for any comments and questions they have for the applicant or town staff. All right, let me just get my list pulled up here. I'm sorry. All right, and we've got a couple of questions. Commissioner Bergsma, I've unmuted you.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I guess the question I have for the applicant is, what you're proposing, is it in any way any more restrictive than what the code now requires? In other words, aren't you essentially basically saying that our sign criteria are the code standards?
Well, I guess we are to a certain extent. We still want to be able to review submittals from our tenants prior to them submitting it to the town. So we can have a little bit of control over the cohesiveness of the signs in the center.
So the proposed criteria indicate that there is an architectural review committee. How is that constituted?
Well, the center has an owners association. So the owners association has the architectural review committee as part of its function. And so everything would have to be submitted to the architectural review committee for approval.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions, Commissioner Bergsma?
I have a few comments, but I'll wait for the other questions before I get to those.
All right, we're going to move on to Commissioner Hurst. I've unmuted you.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I just have a couple of comments. I usually am not a fan of signage, and the smaller is usually better from my years of experience in administering these sorts of things. However, if I put on my hat as a citizen and I'm looking for an establishment or a center or whatever, I really like to have signage. And in this case here, because the criteria of the zoning ordinance are met, the sign ordinance are met, I would support the changes and say this is beneficial to Oro Valley and to the development.
All right, thank you. Any other comments or questions before I move on to the next person or commissioner? All right, Commissioner Posey. All right.
Okay.
We can hear you. All right.
Yes. Okay. So, I agree with the, we need to be attracted. The businesses need to be a little more attracted, in my opinion, as well. Don't like big flashy signs, but I think this is better, like, for people who are visiting or, I know my family and friends have come in and, they say, well, where's this or that? And I think, not big flashy, but where you can drive around. I really like that. My question is on required maintenance. I was reading that. I just want to make sure that I understand this, that the Architectural Review Committee, and they enforce the routine inspections, or is it specifically on a complaint basis? I was wondering about that.
Well,
Patty, I guess you can answer that probably.
Yeah, Commissioner Capozzi, so anything in the sign criteria that refers to the ARC or the Architectural Review Committee, that's actually through the owner's process. That's Mr. Gatte could speak to that. But as far as the town goes, just in our zoning code under the sign section, we do have a maintenance part of our code that we can enforce that if folks need to perform some sort of needed maintenance on a sign. Often that is a complaint driven type of system.
Okay. So, okay. That answers my questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. Commissioner Sturman, you are unmuted.
Thank you, Chairman Gamble. My question is about the monument. What I was really interested in is now we're, you know, seriously looking to expand it by about 22 square feet. So I wanted to ask Barry, is there a chance that you would probably utilize that square footage here in the near future because of the signage seems rather cramped at this point, present time. So I was wondering if that would prompt you, you know, to expand on that sign.
Very honestly, we have no intentions currently to change that sign. As we were going through this process and I found out that the sign could be larger, it's something we'll think about. Like everybody else currently, finances are a little tighter than normal. And so at some point we'd like to add another sign to the center, which we're allowed to do. And that one would be the larger size to meet the current standard. But I honestly couldn't tell you when that's going to happen.
Okay. Thank you. My only question.
All right, Commissioner Hahn.
Sure, I have just two questions actually. I understand there are 8 acre, this is an 8 acre site, five buildings and two vacant parcels for future development. I was wondering just exactly how many businesses are likely to be affected. So for example, right now, how many store signages will be able to make changes under the proposed zoning change or code change? And if you have any before and after visuals or pictures or drawings, something that allows me to be able to vision, because right now I'm just being told, you know, this is how it is right now and this is what we are allowed to do in the future, but I would be able to understand a little better the likely impact if I were to be given more visuals on the existing businesses. Maybe that's too much to ask. I don't know. It's just quiet here, so.
Commissioner Hong, thank you for the question. So if this revised sign criteria were to gain approval, theoretically, any of the existing businesses could choose to change their signs out to be the different color or illumination. And then any new businesses coming in could certainly choose from the new sign criteria also. I don't know that if Mr. Gatte has any tenants who would do that, as he alluded to, there's, you know, folks aren't spending a lot of money on that kind of thing right now. So I'm not sure at this time what would happen. And we don't have any more visuals for you other than what you've seen on the slides tonight. So apologize.
Sure. I mean, we're talking about 8 acres and I don't right now, I can't really envision 8 acres, you know, somewhere in like another road, you know, fully developed and, you know, it's illuminating all throughout the evening. That may be, you know, a dream and I don't know, it may be far-fetched, but I just would like to see how would it look like, you know, and maybe in other towns, you know, 8 acres, you know, with all these businesses with, you know, that are allowed to have all these features added onto their signages.
you know, for comparison, you could think about the Oro Valley Marketplace, where the DSW Shoes and Tuesday Morning are located. Although their sign standards actually are a bit more lenient at the marketplace, they do tend to have a wide variety of color choices in there, and also they have the internally illuminated signs. Mm-hmm. So that would be maybe a good visual if you can remember what that looks like.
Are they comparable in size?
No.
8 acres versus?
No, I'm sorry. The marketplace is 100 some acres.
Oh, okay. This is tiny. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your response.
Commissioner Bergsma, let me unmute you. All right. And you've got comments and questions?
Yes. I guess a question followed by comments. Question to staff. If it were to be determined that there was a conflict between these criteria and the standards of the zoning code for signs, would the code prevail?
Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. So the sign criterias are actually required to meet our zoning code standards. So everything in the sign criteria should meet the zoning code standards. And if there was something, I that wasn't dotted or T that wasn't crossed, the zoning code would definitely prevail.
Okay. Well, I think there are a couple things in proposed criteria that are not quite consistent with the zoning code standards, at least as I read them. And these both pertain to monument signs. The proposed criteria indicate that a monument sign could be a maximum height of 10 feet. However, the zoning code says the sign itself can only be 8 feet high. You can have an extra 25% on top of that for architectural features, but not the sign. So I think there's a little bit of inconsistency there. I think there should be, I have a proposed wording change to fix that. Also, regarding the fuel center sign, and there is this Fry's fuel center on the site, the proposed criteria indicate that it would be of a reduced size. Well, actually, the code says it can be no more than 32 square feet. So I think it'd be better if the criteria were to explicitly say 32 square feet, not a reduced size, which is subject to interpretation. So other than those two things, I think it's okay, but I have a little concern that those two provisions are not quite consistent with what the code requires.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Do we have any other comments or questions from commissioners at this time? I'm not seeing any. As I was going through the packet for this and the color selections, I thought it was a great opportunity to highlight a lot of those businesses. So I, of course, was in favor of that. And as many of you know, I do feel like that copper patina color is a little bit dated. So hopefully we'll be able to see less of that going forward. I'm sure that's not the top choice of a lot of businesses anyway. So I was excited to see all of the extra color options and to be able to give these businesses the better opportunity to represent themselves. So with that being said, I will ask for a motion. There's no public hearing on this. And I will unmute Commissioner Bergsma.
Okay. I'm going to try to make a motion that addresses the concerns I just raised. I move to approve the sign criteria for the Mercado at Kenyatta Hills as depicted in attachment one, based on the finding that the criteria are consistent with the design standards and principles of the zoning code with two minor amendments. And those would be under the heading of monument sign, section 2, second line of A would say signs and a sign size not to exceed 32 square feet for the fuel center. And then under section B4 would say the maximum height of each sign is 8 feet above grade with extra height for architectural features as allowed by the OVZC.
All right, and that pertained to monument signs only?
That's correct. Only those two provisions relate to monument signs, one for the fuel center and one for all monument signs.
Okay, great. I will ask for a second, and I will unmute Commissioner Posey.
I'll second that motion.
All right, Ms. Ancona, can we please have a roll call vote?
Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Thank you very much. And Ms. Ancona, will you please read out our third agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a zoning code text amendment to section 23.5 for an administrative review and potential approval process for minor building setback reductions.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to turn the time over to staff member Hannah Oden for her presentation.
All right, thank you, Chair Gamble. We'll just give it a minute here for the presentation to come up. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. New computer here, so just want to make sure. All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Hannah Oden, and I am a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. Next slide, please. So the purpose of this case is to consider a proposed zoning code amendment that was initiated by the Planning and Zoning Commission last month. The proposed code amendment would provide a fair, balanced, and time-tested process for administrative review and potential approval of minor building setback reduction requests without the requirement to go through the legal framework of a variance process. I'll walk us through the proposed amendment during this presentation. Proposed zoning code amendments require a recommendation by Planning and Zoning Commission with final action by Town Council. This proposed code amendment is being presented today for discussion and possible recommendation. The complete proposed code amendment, can be found in attachment 1 of your packets. Next slide, please. So to start, I'm going to provide some background information before discussing the proposed code amendment in more detail. All building setback reductions, no matter how minor, must be considered by the Board of Adjustment as a variance case. As you may remember from a recent code amendment a month ago regarding the specifics of variance criteria and how they are used, the Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial board which has the power to alter property rights or consider administrative decision appeals within the bounds of the law. A variance is when the Board of Adjustment provides a modification of the provisions of the zoning code when 5 legalistic findings have been satisfied. This proposed code amendment is an effort to build on the previous code amendment related to variance criteria considered by the commission last month. Often, these setback reduction requests are minor with no impact to surrounding properties. However, the 5 legalistic findings per state law and the zoning code that must be satisfied for all variance requests are intentionally strict and difficult to meet. For this reason, even variance setback reduction requests that are minor with no negative impacts are often denied because all five required legalistic findings have not been met. A recent case considered by the Board of Adjustment illustrates this situation well, as shown on this slide. An applicant was requesting a setback reduction to construct an attached garage to their home. The request was for a 2.5-foot setback reduction. Now, even though the request was minor with no negative impacts and was supported by neighbors, both staff and the Board of Adjustment found that the request did not meet all required variance findings, and the request was ultimately denied. Minor setback reduction requests are also something Oro Valley residents ask town staff about during home construction projects. While these inquiries often do not result in a variance application, it does illustrate a community need. The proposed code amendment would provide a process for administrative review and potential approval of minor setback reduction requests, such as the one described. Requests would be subject to specific criteria, which I will describe later in the presentation. Okay, next slide, please. While developing this proposed zoning code amendment, staff turned to other state jurisdictions to research. A number of jurisdictions in Arizona, as shown on this slide, have allowances for administrative review and potential approval of setback reductions in their zoning codes and were used as the framework for crafting this proposed code amendment. While the process differs between jurisdictions, all have been able to successfully implement a process that allows for administrative review and approval of minor building setback reductions when warranted and based on specific criteria. Staff examined the content of these processes for the key components that have been incorporated into this proposed code amendment. Furthermore, staff referenced state law for this proposed amendment, which allows setback reductions less than 10% to be eligible for administrative review and approval. I will discuss this later in the presentation. Okay, next slide, please. The proposed amendment has several key components, which I would like to briefly describe. First, the amendment would only apply to single-family residential properties for individual homeowners. It does not apply to major home builders constructing an entire residential subdivision. In short, this process may not be used for multiple properties as one application and are considered on a case-by-case basis. The intent, again, is to help individual homeowners. Second, the setback reduction must be less than 10% and may not result in a setback that is closer than 5 feet to any property line. As mentioned in the previous slide, state law limits setback reductions to less than 10% to be eligible for administrative review and potential approval. Third, for a setback reduction request to be eligible for administrative approval, it must be unopposed by directly affected property owners. Fourth, staff is proposing specific standards that all requests must meet to be eligible for this process. These standards are strict to ensure that there are no negative impacts to surrounding properties. Jurisdictions in Arizona that allow for administrative relief of setback reductions have similar standards that must be satisfied for approval. Lastly, the proposed code amendment uses the existing appeal process for administrative decisions in the zoning code that requires appeals to be considered by the Board of Adjustment. Okay, next slide, please. I will now go through the specifics of the proposed code amendment, and we'll start with applicability and allowances. The proposed amendment would apply to single-family residences for both the main building and detached accessory structures, so such as a home addition or attached garage. As mentioned previously, setback reduction requests would be considered individually on a parcel-by-parcel basis for single-family residences. It would not apply to setback reductions for multiple properties as part of an entire subdivision requested by a major home builder. Lastly, there are existing sections in the zoning code where setback relief is already granted in the form of an allowed encroachment in certain instances. This proposed amendment would not allow for further setback reductions to be granted where the code already provides relief. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. Next, I'll discuss the standards that all minor setback reduction requests must meet to be eligible for this process. Setback reductions must be less than 10% and may not result in a setback that is closer than 5 feet to any property line. As mentioned previously, state law limits administrative approval of setback reductions to less than 10%. The proposed process would apply to all zoning districts that permit single-family dwelling units. The table on this slide shows single-family zoning districts and illustrates what a 10% setback reduction would look like for front, side, and rear setbacks. Again, setback reduction requests for administrative review and potential approval must be less than 10% per state law. So any setback reduction request would in reality be less than what the table depicts. For instance, in an R1-36 zoning district, a maximum front setback reduction would result in a less than 3 foot reduction from 30 feet. So the resulting reduced setback would be greater than 27 feet. The maximum setback reduction that would result from this proposed process would be less than 5 feet in the larger zoning districts where setbacks are greater. All requests must be unopposed by directly affected property owners, which means that no written response in opposition is received by town staff. I will discuss this in more detail in the following slides. Lastly, similar to variance findings, setback reduction requests may not be materially detrimental to surrounding properties and are also subject to conditions, as determined by the Planning and Zoning Administrator, to limit any potential negative impacts. This would include conditions such as screening and exterior color limitations. The purpose of this latitude is to address any unforeseen circumstances. Okay, next slide, please. And one more. Thank you. Next, I'll discuss how the proposed code amendment defines directly affected property owners. Property owners adjacent to the applicant's property are considered to be directly affected. This includes properties both next to and near the subject property, such as properties directly across the street. However, if a setback reduction request is in the side or rear yard and only affects abutting properties, which are those sharing a property line, then only abutting properties would be considered directly affected. On this slide, the subject property is outlined in yellow. Abutting properties are those outlined in blue. Adjacent properties would include both the abutting properties as well as the two parcels outlined in red across the street. The proposed code amendment would also allow the Planning and Zoning Administrator to include additional properties if it is determined that they would be materially affected by a setback reduction request. Once an eligible setback reduction request is received, the town will notify directly affected property owners by mail. The notice will provide detailed information about the request and will be accompanied by a 15-day comment period when directly affected property owners may provide written comments to the town, either in support or opposition of the request. Okay, next slide, please. This brings us to the next part of the proposed code amendment regarding potential opposition by directly affected property owners. Again, directly affected property owners have 15 days to respond after notices are mailed. If no response in opposition is received by the town, the application is considered unopposed and may continue through the review process. However, if written opposition is received by the town within the 15-day comment period, the Planning and Zoning Administrator may add conditions to a setback reduction request, such as screening or a height limit, to address the opposition. The proposed code amendment would also allow the Planning and Zoning Administrator to meet with the applicant and affected property owner in opposition to reach a consensus. This could include modifying the request or adding conditions to mitigate for any impacts. If opposition still remains from a directly affected property owner, the request must be denied. Okay, next slide, please. All proposed code amendments are reviewed for conformance with the general plan. Staff finds that the proposed code amendment is supported by the general plan by providing directly affected property owners opportunity to provide comments and input regarding a proposed setback reduction request. For Furthermore, the proposed code amendment is supported by the general plan by ensuring any proposed transitions resulting from a minor setback reduction request are acceptable to neighbors. The proposed code amendment supports compatibility with existing town development and does not conflict with any general plan goal or policy. The proposed code amendment was presented to the Board of Adjustment during a study session last week. The board was supportive of the proposed code amendment and had questions regarding the 15-day neighboring property owner notices for a minor setback reduction request, the timing of the zoning code amendment consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council, and the number of situations this process would apply to. There were no outstanding questions or concerns. Notices were sent to all homeowners associations, and public hearing notices were posted in the territorial newspaper, at Town Hall, and on the town website. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. And I do apologize. This slide and the previous slide were out of order, so we're jumping back a little bit to the last part of the proposed code amendment. So my apologies for that. But lastly, I will discuss the review and appeal process included in the proposed code amendment. The amendment gives the Planning and Zoning Administrator review and decision authority of setback reduction requests. They may approve with conditions, or deny an application based on the requirements of this process. Similar to other jurisdictions in Arizona who have a setback reduction allowance, any appeals to the Planning and Zoning Administrator decision would be deferred to the Board of Adjustment. This would follow the current process for appeals of administrative decisions that exists in the zoning code. All administrative decisions may be appealed to the Board of Adjustment by aggrieved parties. And if the request is denied, the applicant still retains the ability to have their case considered by the Board of Adjustment as a variance case and would be subject to all variance criteria. Next slide, please. Thank you. So in summary, the proposed code amendment would provide a process for administrative review and potential approval of minor setback reductions when warranted and based on specific standards. The intent is to provide flexibility in the code for a fair, balanced, and time-tested process when setback reduction requests are minor without the need to go through the extensive legal framework of a variance process. Reductions would be limited to less than 10% and would be subject to specific standards to ensure that there are no negative impacts to surrounding properties. Again, all eligible requests must be unopposed by directly affected neighbors. Again, this proposed code amendment is presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission today for discussion and possible recommendation. Ultimately, the proposed code amendment will be subject to action by Town Council at a subsequent public hearing. And I will discuss the staff recommendation in the following slide. Next slide, please. So due to additional legal review to ensure the proposed code amendment is in compliance with state law, staff recommends approval of the proposed code amendment subject to the revised language shown on this screen. This revised code language in proposed section 23.5 C2H.3 provides clarification that setback reductions must be less than 10% and that this may not result in a reduction that is closer than 5 feet to any property line. Jurisdictions in Arizona have different approaches with setback allowances, and staff is proposing the most conservative approach permitted by state law. Okay, next slide, please. The Planning and Zoning Commission may choose to consider the motions shown on this slide. Please note that the motion to recommend approval includes the revised code language. And we can bring this slide back up when the motion is being made. And this concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions about the proposed code amendment. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Oden. I am now gonna turn the time over to commissioners. Please raise your hand if you have questions, comments, concerns at this time. All right, Commissioner Sturman.
Thank you, Chairman. My question is, I was looking at the standards by Pima County specifically, and they involve and I have to expand it here. They involve on item five or four, it's called drainage from proposed buildings and structures will not adversely affect. Where would something like that fall under this this code revision that we would have?
Yeah, I can go ahead. I'd be happy to answer that. Chair Gamble, Member Sturman. So in regards to drainage, any new development or construction project that requires a permit, which would likely be anything that this process would apply to, our engineering staff, it's actually a town requirement for that any project, construction project that a homeowner does, it cannot adversely impact any drainage. So that's on their side and definitely offsite. So that's already a town standard for engineering staff to review when those permits, those plans come in for review and approval. Okay. So that's what would be covered. It would already be covered under existing town allowances and requirements.
Now, would that be the same? They say item three, it says traffic visibility on adjoining streets. Say that there would be an extension. So that would fall under the same evaluation, you know, when they bring in the changes.
Chair Gamble, Chair Gamble, Member Sturman, that is correct as well.
Okay. My mother, you know, the other question I was concerned, you said all HOAs, with where I live, we have a master association and sub-associations. So when you say all HOAs, are you including the Master Association? You know, because they do evaluate any evaluation in terms of architectural, land use design, so forth. So does that need to be clear that, you know, we're in a PAD, plan area development, and we have a Master Association that we have to adhere to too?
Correct. Chair Gamble, Member Sturman, so notices were mailed, not common in the presentation, that was in regards to noticing. So for this proposed code amendment, notices were mailed out to all HOAs. If there is a planned area development or a community with a homeowners association, residents, you know, if they want to do a construction project that would require this process, they would have to you know, not only meet town requirements, but they would also have to meet any requirements for the HOA. And the PAD, any planned area developments, those are housed under the zoning code.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Gamble, if I can just add, to answer your question more, a little bit, it did go to, would have gone to the master HOA as well. So they would have been notified.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Was that everything, Commissioner Sturman?
Yes, thank you much.
All right. I am going to unmute Commissioner Hong.
Okay, my dog just decided to bark. I have one question. I just wanted to learn. Okay, so the difference between the major versus minor setback, how are they just different in general? And, you know, in terms of physical reduction range, is it 10% versus more in reduction that we're talking about, major versus minor? And how different are the review process and who will be handling the review? That's it. Thank you.
And I can answer that. I'm Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong. So for a minor setback reduction, we're proposing that to be, you know, per state law, anything less than 10%. So again, we're proposing an avenue for administrative review and potential approval based on those standards in the proposed amendment. Anything over that 10%, that would require an application to be considered by the Board of Adjustment as a variance case. So that would require, you know, again, consideration by the Board of Adjustment at a public hearing. So staff would review those applications, but the decision authority would fall on the Board of Adjustment.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Hurst.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I'm quite pleased to see this proposed text amendment surface, because although the zoning ordinances are quite complex and in fact quite bureaucratic, probably necessarily so when we're dealing with a subdivision, I think that a individual homeowner resident in the town of Oro Valley should not be subjected to those kind of bureaucratic issues when we're talking about a minimal, and in this case less than 10%, setback adjustment. If you wanted to make that kind of adjustment on your own property, you wouldn't want to have to go through the same bureaucratic process that a subdivision developer would have to go through. And I think by relieving the individual homeowner of that oftentimes onerous task, we're really helping the citizens of Oro Valley. Secondly, having seen the reports of the staff, heard their presentations, I am absolutely convinced that they have the experience, the skills, and the judgment necessary to make de minimis code adjustments to the setback requirements without fear of destroying the town of Oro Valley. So I would definitely support this text amendment.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hurst. I am going to unmute Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So first of all, thank you for providing, thank you to staff for providing the table comparing different jurisdictions and how they deal with these situations. One of them, I can't recall which one it was, indicated that the notice that is provided to the abutting or adjacent property owners is to include a sketch showing exactly what was being proposed in terms of a setback reduction. Is that something that would be included in any notice provided by the town of Oro Valley in this case, in these kinds of cases?
Yes, Chair Gamble and Commissioner Bergsma. Yes, something like that would be included. So with any application, whether it's, you know, if this process were to be approved, if it's even for a plat amendment or anything like that, we have a process guide which has specific application criteria. So that would include the applicant to submit, you know, anything from like a site plan to a sketch, something very clearly, or something that's very clear to show what they are proposing. So that would be included in the notice, whether that's directly mailed to the applicant or to directly affected property owners or posted on the website. But that information would be provided.
Thank you. I do have a comment. As you may recall, when we discussed whether to move ahead with this proposed amendment back on August 11th, I indicated I thought it might be appropriate as long as the review standards are clear and objective. And this goes back to my planning background in Oregon, which is somewhat more, I think, legalistic than Arizona. But I think for the most part, that's the case. However, I am concerned about one of these standards, 3B, which says that requests may not be materially detrimental to directly affected properties, including safety, views, noise, health, and general welfare, as determined by the Planning and Zoning Administrator. That's a very broad standard and subject to a lot of interpretation, which I generally, you don't want to have staff applying a lot of discretion when they're the final decision maker. So I'm a little concerned about that language. And I know some of the other jurisdictions that you provided information on have similar language, but I'd prefer to get something a little more specific. You know, if you're talking about sight distance on the street, things like that, that might be okay. But to me, this, I'm uncomfortable with that language.
If I could, Chair Gamble, if you don't, may I just answer quickly, Commissioner Bergsma. So the reason it's a little ambiguous, of course, is you're never going to be able to account for every instance and every scenario, right? And so the idea was that requirement was really to serve as a motivator, if you will, to bring the parties together so that we can have a sit down, a conversation with folks to see if there is an opportunity for compromise, whether that means, you know, additional mitigation gets put in or, you know, things of that nature. So again, knowing that you're not going to be able to account for every instance and every scenario, that's where that requirement, just so you know, kind of fit into the fold, if you will.
I guess from my point of view, I'd prefer not to have that kind of language and just make it real simple. You know, the other three standards are enough, probably. You might want to add one or two more, maybe regarding drainage or sight distance at the street, but I don't know that you need to have something as broad as that.
Okay.
Chair Gamble, this is Member Bergsma. This is Joe Andrews. That kind of thing, that kind of broad language is in there. This particular process makes it that any, let's just say, unhappy neighbor would be able to direct problems, and they can't, because if they remain unhappy and they're in opposition to, then it rolls to the Board of Adjustment anyway. There's not a lot of staff interpretation on that, more than there is neighbors can say, this is detrimental to me and this is how. From an Arizona legal perspective, I don't mind that at all on this particular criteria.
All right, Hal, did you have, or Commissioner Bergsma, did you have any other comments?
No, that's it, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Hurst, I am unmuting you.
Yeah, Chair Gamble, I'd like to just follow up on those comments. I think that the more criteria you add and make the staff follow like a cookbook, the less discretion you have, and as a result, the more bureaucratic you make the process for the individual homeowner. I don't see any reason why the staff can't use their good judgment to follow the broader guidelines. So I'm opposed to establishing our own cookbook of criteria for these sorts of things. That's what the Board of Adjustment is for, if they want to establish criteria.
All right, I'm going to unmute Commissioner Bergsma.
Well, I guess my point is that the staff shouldn't have a lot of discretion. If there's a lot of discretion to be had, then that should be something that goes to the Board of Adjustment or the Town Council or the Planning and Zoning Commission. The staff should, it should be a pretty easy thing to decide. If somebody meets certain standards, they get approval. If they don't, they don't. So I guess I see it differently.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma and Commissioner Hurst. I really appreciate that we can have discussions. I know it's a little bit tricky on Zoom with the muting and unmuting, but thank you both for sharing your opinions. Did anybody else have any comments, opinions, concerns? Commissioner Sturman, I am unmuting you now.
Thank you, Chairman Gamble. You know, what Michael Spaeth had indicated exactly what that standard was about, I think that's exactly what should be said in that standard. Is that it's really a means for a complaint applicant, as well as the individual that wants it, along with the planning staff, you know, just to sit down and actually establish a compromise. And rather than go with the wording, which was broad, you know, that Hal had made, let's identify exactly what Michael had said. He says, well, really what it's about is just to sit down and try to find some mitigation between the complaint as well as the applicant, you know, that wants the change. And really that's what you're trying to do. So, you know, when they start talking about health and so forth, it really is the planning staff medically experienced to be talking about health? You know, you're start talking just what Neil had said. You know, you're talking about bringing in medical advice, and it turns out to be nothing than just a huge amount of bureaucratic process. And that's what you're not trying to achieve. Just a point to be made.
Chair Gamble, if I could just... So, Member Sturman, there is language in the code amendment that talks about bringing the parties together and having that type of discussion to try and get to a resolution. And when we say public health, welfare, and safety, that also includes, you know, just the general zoning powers of the town as a whole, right? So it's not necessarily literally like a medical professional's determination of health. It's general health, welfare, and safety. So just throw that in. So thank you, though.
Thank you.
All right. And I just wanted to make the comment that this is just a time for commissioners to discuss and that I will open up the public hearing in a couple of minutes. And I will unmute Vice Chair Harrington.
Chair Campbell, I think it's really good to see a lot of diverse opinions on the situation. Listen to the conversation, you can see it from the different point of views. But I think it's really good that we take a good, legally conservative approach to this moving forward. But I definitely appreciate the diverse opinions and the discussion that we're having on this matter.
All right, thank you. So do any other commissioners have questions or comments? I'm not seeing any other hands. So I am actually going to open this up to the public hearing now. So if there is anyone from the public that would like to make a comment or a question, now is the time to do so. And if you could raise your hand by clicking the participant screen, finding your name, and then clicking the raise hand icon, or by pressing star 9 if you are on a telephone. And I see we have one. I see Alexander. I have unmuted you. Could you unmute yourself too? Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Great.
Good evening. Thank you all. My name is Tracy Alexander, and I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I just wanted to thank the commissioners for considering this amendment and for last month approving it for the research that the staff did. I do continue to support the proposal as Hannah presented it for myself and all the other future residents for whom this will also help. And given the recent revision of the Board of Adjustment criteria that you all just put through, I think this zoning code amendment is even more important because the new language makes it much more difficult with the clarification of the criteria and the new case law to have a successful Board of Adjustment appeal for a resident. And I'm not commenting one way or the other on that. I'm just saying that it does make it more difficult with the revision. So this zoning code amendment is even more important. I do understand that commissions are in place to give citizens a voice in the town's operation, and I certainly appreciate that. And I just wanted to point out that this amendment does not actually, although it gives authority to the town staff, it's not actually going to take away any commission's service, because there is no commission that would have the ability to grant this type of relief if it doesn't fit into the Board of Adjustment. There's nowhere else to go. So it's not actually taking away anything from any other commissions. And I didn't know if that might be a concern for someone. I was pleased that the Board of Adjustment were supportive of this proposal. I just really want to thank you again for considering it and hope that you all see the need and the value for this type of zoning code amendment in Rural Valley. And thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Tracy, I appreciate your comments. You know, we really do represent the community here, and I'm always so happy when we have members of our community come and speak. I know it's much more difficult to do that on Zoom, but I always appreciate hearing the community feedback, so thank you for that. All right, so at this time, I do not see any more hands up for the public hearing, so I am going to go ahead and close the public hearing. And yes.
Sorry to interrupt. I think I inadvertently lowered Commissioner Posey's hand earlier.
Well, that's great, because I'm reopening it for discussion with the commission. So, Commissioner Posey, I will unmute you right now. Are you muted on your end? Oh, there we go.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say how much I appreciate the extensive research that was done on this and the excellent resources that for comparison that you provided to the staff. I want to know that it's definitely had an impact on me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. Were there any other comments or questions from commissioners? I'm not seeing any. I know that a lot of us had tuned into both of the Board of Adjustment meetings, and I think this will be a great thing for our town. And, you know, I'd also like to thank the town staff. I think it has been well thought out and researched, and is something that will benefit any single homeowner that would like to have a variance and make that easier for them. So with that, I will ask for a motion from the commissioners. So if one of the commissioners, all right. Commissioner Hurst.
Chair Gamble, if you could have the slide put up that recommends the motion. I can't remember that offhand.
Yes, thank you so much. I was gonna make sure we got that brought back up.
Wait, Chair Gamble, sorry. I got booted out of my program. I need just a sec.
All right.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yes.
I would like to move to recommend approval of the zoning code amendment to section 23.5 and associated sections for a process for administrative review and potential approval of setback reductions, subject to the condition that section 23.5 point C, point two, point H, point three be changed to read a front, rear, or side yard building setback may be reduced by less than 10% to a maximum of 5 feet from any property line.
All right, thank you. That was a mouthful. If I can get a second, Commissioner Posey.
Yes, that's a second, please.
All right, Ms. Ancona, can we please do a roll call vote?
Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Nay.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona, for that. I will now turn the time over to Mr. Spaeth for the Planning Division update. Mr. Spaeth?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble, members of the commission. We have several upcoming Zoom neighborhood meetings, which you probably got links to. Hopefully, if not, let us know. We'll make sure to resend those to you. The first one is actually coming up on Thursday, September 10th, and that is the third neighborhood meeting for the First and Tangerine General Plan Amendment and Rezoning. On September 15th, we will have the first meeting for the Westward Look Annexation General Plan Amendment and Rezoning. And then on September 22nd, we'll have the first neighborhood meeting for a proposed subdivision south of Naranja Drive, immediately north of Highlands Mobile Home. We do have another neighborhood meeting tentatively scheduled for the week of September 28th, so be on the lookout for that, but we don't have a firm date on that yet. The next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting is scheduled for October 6th. We have two public hearings. The first is for the Vistoso Golf General Plan Amendment, and the second is for the First and Tangerine General Plan Amendment and Rezoning. And we also have a public meeting for conceptual model home architecture for parcel 10A, which is located northwest of the La Cunada Drive and Moore Drive intersection. I did want to also note for commissioners that the two public hearings for the general plan amendment is the first of two required by state law. So the second will be in November. The first public hearing is informational only. There will be a public hearing for public testimony, but there will not be a vote taken at that meeting. As far as the Vistoso Golf General Plan Amendment is concerned, we do anticipate that the applicant will be requesting a continuance of town council come November, so we still will have the meeting, just to be aware. Also wanted to let the commission know that the town, the planning department, and the planning center and Paradigm Land Design, the two consultants for both general plan amendments that we've had this year, were jointly awarded a award for the best public outreach effort by the Arizona Planning Association. Yay. This year, which is pretty exciting. So the virtual annual conference, which starts tomorrow, on Thursday, they will have an awards ceremony where you'll get to see a video of yours truly and one of the applicants. So I think Ms. Ancona has sent a link along to that. If you would like to listen in, that'd be great. Again, that process was very unprecedented for the town. You know, a typical case generates somewhere between 25 and 50 comments, maybe with like 100 for a controversial case. These two general plan amendments generated over 1,400 views and over 1,100 comments, which is well beyond anything the town has ever had in terms of public participation, which is great. We recently did videos for both the Westward Look General Plan Amendment and Rezoning and the proposed subdivision south of Naranja, and have again, views exceeding 1,000 since we posted those videos online. So it's definitely a great means of engagement for folks, especially during the summer months. And honestly, we expect that to probably be one of the standard things that we do moving forward to increase public participation. So thank you, Chair Gamble. That concludes the planning update.
All right, thank you. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
All right, can I get a second?
I'll second it.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you.